Like to membership, or just transfer maybe. If you're a transfer from another Methodist church, we can do that as well. So just let me know. Probably within the next 3 or 4 weeks, we'll probably do that and welcome a new group of new members into our congregation. So if you're interested, please see me for that as well. We're going to be starting a new Bible study on April 22nd. Our summer study is going to be, and this is not controversial, Christianity and Islam. So much in common, so far apart. So if you'd be interested in learning a little bit more about Islam and how we live in our world together and the things we see on the news, maybe we can put a little education on our parts behind that and be able to discern just what the headlines and things are telling us today in our world. So it's a 13-week study. I hope you would join us for that. It's going to be a great time of just learning and seeing what we have in common and why we're so far apart on so many things. So I'd encourage you, on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock in the fellowship hall, so I'd encourage you all to come together for that as well. A reminder that we will be having our healing and communion service at 6 o'clock on Wednesday evening this week. There will be no Bible study this week while we take a week break, and we will resume then on the 22nd with our new study. So come out for our healing and communion service here at 6 o'clock in the sanctuary. A reminder as well that today we're going to have Lena Fitzgerald's Celebration of Life service at 12:30 today after church. After the service ends today, we'll go over to the fellowship hall for our time together of fellowship and just welcoming Lena and Gary's family here. And we have a couple of her sisters here from out of town, and her son, one of her sons, is here today as well. But we can have a time of this fellowship, and then at about 12 to 12:15, we'll come back over here to the sanctuary, and we'll have our Celebration of Life service at 12:30. So I hope you all stick around for that. Lena was a sweet lady, and it'd be good for us to come together in support of the family, and to just remember what a beautiful soul, what a beautiful spirit, and what an angel she was to each one of us. We truly miss her here. Amen. So stick around for that today after the service. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
Opening hymn, crown him with many crowns. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful. You are holy and you are light. Grant us eyes to see and ears to hear the resurrection joy that so many cannot believe. Open our hearts to hear the word you proclaim to us this day. Open our minds to embrace the life that you hold before us. Show us the way of unity so that we may live generously as people of light. Reign among us, the resurrected one. Reign in us today. Amen.
I doubt anyone likes me. worked good, didn't it? That's the reaction I was hoping for. See how that works? That's a pretty cool trick, isn't it?
Like, we love you.
Now I'm embarrassed. Am I red? Little, right? I know I get red. That's a bad thing. I know I can't hide it behind my beard anymore. But we're talking about, you know who Thomas is? Anybody know anyone named Thomas? Thomas? Your grandpa, Thomas? I mean, is he here today? Does your grandpa ever doubt? Sure he does. We all doubt. Where am I going with this? You know of doubting Thomas in the Bible? But did you know when Jesus came back? You know Jesus came back from the tomb, right? Jesus came back to life and he came and he sat down with his folks. He even ate a meal with them one day. That's pretty cool. But the whole time, even see it's bad that we just pick on Thomas for doubting, but really all of the disciples doubted that it was Jesus. When Mary went to the tomb on Easter morning and she ran back and told them, they said, "Woman, you've been drinking? That's crazy. I can't believe that's true." Well, Peter and John, they ran over there and sure enough, it was empty. But then they even came back and locked themselves back in their room because they still didn't believe it. Even when Jesus came and showed himself to them, they still doubted. Is it okay to doubt that Jesus is alive? You think it's okay? I think it is okay. Only because when we doubt, we have to see things for ourselves. Do we always believe everything we see? I don't believe everything. I hope I don't believe everything I see, because I see some crazy stuff in the world. So we can have doubts, right? And we can say, "Well, Jesus, I haven't seen you lately, so I don't know if I believe you're coming back from the grave." How do we know that Jesus came back in our own lives? Through other people? When other people are Jesus, you're Jesus with skin on for people. People that do Jesus' work, we call them Jesus with skin on. So it's okay to wonder, and doubt is probably a strong word for this. Uh-oh. Okay. It's okay. But then we see Jesus alive for ourselves, right? So if Jesus, we have evidence of Jesus in other people and in ourselves, then we don't doubt so much, right? So that's what we're going to talk about today with these folks out here. It's okay to wonder, is Jesus really there? Because I'll tell you, he is, because I've seen Jesus in other people. Do you believe that? I see Jesus in you guys. That's how I know Jesus is alive. Because Jesus is in you, right? You ever feel crowded in there when Jesus is inside of you? Does it seem crowded sometimes? We balance, right? Boy, Maria, that's why you're the Sunday school teacher. Good job. So I want us to remember that Jesus is within us and we see Jesus in other people, okay? Can you do that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these beautiful children here this morning and just their spirit and their eagerness to learn about you. Father, bless them. Give them the peace of knowing that they are children of God and that Jesus' Holy Spirit resides within each one of them so they themselves can be Jesus with skin on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Ms. Maria is going to thank you for the church kicking and screaming. That wasn't for me. Don't put me up in front of those folks. Tell God your plans and he'll do this to you. It's a time in our service when we bring our concerns and our praises and our glory to God before the cross this morning. So as we enter into this time of prayer for one another and for situations in the world today, I just ask that you would be in a prayerful spirit and bring those things that are deep within your heart that you just maybe can't bring yourself to even mention out loud, but where God is needed in your life, that you'll feel comfortable to come and present those things to Jesus Christ this morning. So here are these requests that we have. We've got several people in rehabilitation centers or recuperating from hospital stays and surgeries and all that. Here's a list of the folks we need to continue to pray for. Mary Ann Davis, Eugene Nussbaum, Joe Geddes, but I just have a note here that Joe went back to the hospital, so that's we need to continue to pray for Joe and Nancy in that situation as well. Norma Johnson as well, continue to pray for those folks. I haven't let anyone off that list. Those needing prayers, Violet Simmons is going to be starting chemotherapy, I believe, this week, right, Gary?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so she's going to be starting another round of chemotherapy. Rosemary Jarvis, continue healing for her, from her latest round of health concerns as well. Andy Chapman will be having dental surgery on Tuesday. So let's him up for that surgery. Donna Linderson was bitten by a dog. So keep her in your prayers for recovery from that. Let's give Mary Ann Davis the safe travels for the Hartmans and all the snowbirds going back. Catriona's lifting up her pop-pop as he is going in for shoulder surgery. And her parents as well, Justin and Whitney, have just something is flu or something has gotten them both really down, so let's continue to pray for them as well. Richard Fearman, thank goodness. Richard, you're with us today. We're happy about that. We need prayers for the doctor to get his medication back in line and back in order as well. We heard this week that Richard Goolsby, a former member here, has moved up to be with their kids. Richard has gone into hospice care, so let's continue to lift Richard up and his family as well. We heard this week also that Marie Stanley has passed away. She lived over to be a child. Lift up Marie Stanley and her family, former members here. We do have a family touched by the tornadoes in Illinois, the Hatt family, that lost their home in Illinois in the tornadoes, and all those folks that received such devastating losses for this week. Travel mercies to Rebecca Wilhelm Acosta. She's flying back to Bogotá, Colombia, South America, Wednesday morning. Travel mercies for her as well. Two praises are the things we've been praying about this week, and we've seen God's come to fruition in these situations. Tony Crispino had some lung tests in, fearing that possibly lung cancer. The test came back negative, so no cancer. That's a real praise. And for Karen Snyder, we've been praying for an employment situation with her. She had an interview. It looks like she's got the job. So let's continue to pray. That is awesome news. As well, to continue to pray for her husband, David. He's having some foot problems due to diabetes. So just lift David up as well in your prayers this week. This is quite long. I'm sure I probably missed someone. But those folks, if I miss someone, just lift them up to the Lord this morning in your prayers. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Oh, gracious God, you've heard our list this morning as we list those we care about and love, Lord, that they would feel the Holy Spirit presence wherever they find themselves this morning. Father, we're in need for physical healing. We pray today that your divine touch would enter these situations and would make them pain-free and symptom-free, and that these things could be through the doctors and nurses and technicians that care, Lord, and using their spiritual gifts of healing would work in each one of these situations to bring about a peaceful transition into a healthy, fruitful life, Lord, for those who find themselves in such dire need for their health. Father God, we are grateful that you are the healing physician, and those that we bring before you this morning can rest assured that you hear our prayers, and that you will work mightily in each of these situations, and your will we are to accept, and to, if we need be, Father, wait on you. Father, we are grateful to have you in common and indwell within each one of us, to bring your healing power and presence within our very being. Father, we pray this morning for relationships as well, where families are being torn apart by disagreement and strife. We pray unending for the resolution of conflict in families. Father, among people who love each other dearly, but just have a hard time living together, who fight and squabble and carry on in a way that does not honor God. Father, we pray that you would intercede in these families, in these situations, in these relationships. Father, that as we reach out to you in doubt, some days we doubt, Lord, and let our faith be strengthened by the witness of those around us that have witnessed for themselves the healing power of Jesus Christ, the healing power of the Holy Spirit within conflict, within relationships, within our financial burdens that we each face. Father God, we are so grateful that you lift that burden from us. Father, our daily lives can just weigh us down and keep our minds and our thoughts off of you. And whatever takes us away from you, Father, is not a good thing in our lives. We just pray for your help in all these situations. Wherever we need you, Lord, we pray for you to be deeply committed in our personal relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we pray for strife and turmoil that we read about in our news. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. As we recently saw, a group of us that went to the Holy Land, some things never change. Some things seem to have no resolution. We pray today for God's divine healing and grace to come over that land and be ready to accept their Savior once again as Jesus Christ returns to us. So, Father, be with us today in our worship. Let us honor and glorify you. Father, let us give praise and celebration to the life of Lena Fitzgerald. Father, our dear Lena has gone on to heaven, and we miss her dearly. We are devastated by her loss. Her family is grieving, and her church family is grieving, and we just feel sorrow for the moment. We can rest assured, Lord, that your will in this situation, if you were to take her now, was for your purposes. We pray for her beautiful spirit, the angel that I know she is this morning. Father, thank you for allowing us to know her. Father God, we come to you sometimes broken and battered, but we rise again from the ashes, the resurrection, if we are guaranteed with a faith in Jesus. Let us pray together now. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Lord, I invite you this morning to give back a portion of all that God has given to us. Let us offer signs of light and love as we share our gifts with God's world. The ushers, please come forward.
Oh.
generous God, we give back to you a portion of our blessing back to the Church of Jesus Christ. Father, bless it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
May be seated.
If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.
Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me, and yet they have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, please have a blessing in the reading of these words. This morning we stand before you confessing our doubt and occasion, but Father, also seeing Jesus Christ risen and resurrected in those around us. So Father, bless this time with us together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Close with eyewitness accounts of Jesus. Right? There is all kinds of people that have seen Jesus. Have you seen Jesus today? Have you seen Jesus in the person sitting next to you?
Yes. Yes.
There's disbelief at every turn. We pick on poor Thomas time and time again about doubting Thomas. But the rest of those silly apostles, they did the same thing.
Amen.
Mary came back and said, "Hey, I saw him." Are you nuts? Did Jesus tell them what was going to happen? And yet they did not believe. What we can believe is that resurrection changes us. Have you been changed? Have you felt the power of the Holy Spirit in your life?
Yes.
Maybe? Maybe not?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yes, amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
We have Jesus among us. We have Jesus alive in the world today. Christ came and did what he needed to do for us to feel him, to see him, to touch him, taste him, to feel the power of God. As I told the children this morning, we see God in other people. That's how Jesus has chosen to show himself to us at this present time. We see it in ourselves. We feel it within ourselves. Have you ever been so overwhelmed with joy that you were bursting? I asked the kids this morning, does it feel crowded inside you some days? Does the Holy Spirit just cry out to be shown to others through you? You've heard me say it many times that for a Christian devoted to Christ, would explode if you locked them in a room and didn't allow them to be a servant.
Amen.
To serve others, to console others, to evangelize to others, to provide care and nurture to others. We can't be a Christian locked in a room by ourselves. Our heart bursts to serve. I pray that your heart at times has felt like it could burst with the joy of Christ.
Amen.
But then on the other hand, have you doubted?
Yes.
God, where are you? Jesus, hanging on the cross, said, Father, why did you forsake me? Wait a minute, where did that come from? Even Jesus? Makes you think, doesn't it? Like I said, resurrection changes us. Have you ever tried to give anyone advice? Parents, have you ever tried to advise your children and give them some good, sound advice? How did that work out for you?
Sometimes good.
Sometimes good, sometimes not so good, right? Why does our advice go unheeded? Why does it fall on deaf ears? It falls on deaf ears because unless we pick the wall of ourself, we don't know how bad it hurts, does it? If someone says to you, I'm going to take this 2x4 and I'm going to smack this person between the eyes with it, and they're going to tell you how much it hurts, would we believe it? When they woke up, we would probably believe them. What I'm getting at is our experiences. We live by experience, don't we? The disciples gave us proof of that in the room. They came, they told Thomas he was here. Thomas said, won't believe it. Thomas wasn't going to believe it until he saw it with his own eyes. He touched the living Christ. Isn't it nice to know that Jesus would come back and say, okay, Tom, come over here, Tom. Here it is. Let me show you, prove it to you. That's why when we want to give advice to someone we love and they don't necessarily heed that advice, we say we knew this was going to happen. And you did it anyway. We live by experience, don't we? That's like I ask the kids, have you seen Jesus in someone? I'll ask you the same question. Have you seen Jesus in someone?
Yes.
I hope you have, because that is where our faith comes from. Our faith comes through others. It comes through us. Have you been Jesus with skin on for someone?
Yes.
Have you been there by a bedside holding someone's hand when they needed you, when they were just lonely? That's funny. Jesus did those things. That's what we're doing. We learn by experience. Blessed are those who believe yet have not seen. Now I'm from the Show Me State. Where is that?
Missouri.
You got to show me. I'm Thomas. You got to show me the wounds in your hand before I'm going to believe it. Not necessarily, but I'm just using that. Thank God in my own life I've learned to trust God enough that God, if you want me to know something, you'll let me know. And then I pray, God, if you let me know something, let me be smart enough to open my eyes and see it. I feel God is showing me things, and I hope He's showing you things every day, every minute, every second. But then my prayer would be for you to recognize it. For you to not have doubt that Jesus Christ, that God, the Holy Spirit, is working in your life. Now let me ask you this. Does the day get better when Jesus is there with you?
Oh, amen.
You know, I challenged you few months ago now, maybe, when you wake up in the morning, devote yourself to God that day. Say, Jesus, you and I are in this together. Whatever happens today, we're going to face it together. Some of you have done pretty good. Some of you have done real good. Some of you I see saying it's hopeless. I got up in the morning and I forgot to ask Jesus to go with me today. So when my day went bad, I said, God, why did you let this happen? God, why did you do this to me again today? because we're experiencing the experiences we've created within ourselves. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
You know people that create their own problems?
Yes.
I don't do it, but I see it in you all. Some of you are really good at it. Some of you are very, very, very good at it. I use you as my example. You know, as the disciples were there, Jesus came, and Jesus left, and they were still locked behind closed doors, weren't they? Joke in Bible study, it didn't mean anything until that little flame came and rested above their heads. It didn't mean a thing. It didn't change much. They were still hidden, locked behind closed doors. Jesus came in and was there with them and left. They said, throw the other deadbolt. We need to be sure we're locked up and safe. Well, good grief. If a man has just come back from the dead and he looks perfectly fine and you can touch him, what are you worried about? They still have some doubt, isn't it? This week in church history is about doubt. As they sat behind locked doors, Thomas getting a bad rap for being doubting Thomas. Jesus gave them a week to think about it. You ever wonder why Jesus waited a whole week to come back to court for Thomas? I bet Thomas was like, man, this stinks. Where's he at? You had a little too much wine the other day when he was here? You all were seeing things? I don't believe it. Verse 20 in our reading said that he showed himself to the disciples, to all of them, before Thomas was there. I think it's safe to say it's been parts of our lives when we're all doubting Thomas, right? Doubting Mary. Mary ran to the tomb and asked Jesus standing there, are you the gardener? Come on, Mary, get real. You've been traipsing around with this guy for 3 years. You don't recognize him. We can all be that. Did Peter doubt? Peter and the one that Jesus loved the most. You like that in John? John just keeps telling everyone that he was the most loved, wasn't he? Did he have some insecurity? You know what? Until the risen Christ comes and speaks to us and puts out his hands and lets us touch his hand and his side, we can still doubt, can't we? Can we still doubt when we've seen? Can we still don't believe? We have evidence of it right here. The scripture tells us today they all at that point had seen him. And yet they were hiding behind locked doors. They still didn't believe that Jesus was there to protect them. It's safe to say we all have times of doubt. I see doubt maybe as a small gift from God. Because when we come back around, it's so much sweeter, isn't it? You ever been in the desert? When you make it to the water hole, that feels pretty doggone good. Feels real good. We pray out, we cry out to God, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. This life is a journey. In this life, are we ever going to be there? We're always going there, aren't we? We're always going there. You know, our parents, I grew up in a Methodist church, they told me, you know, the things we hear in church today, we're familiar with and we believe. So Sometimes we believe just because I've heard it for 40 years, I've heard it for 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, Miss Dorothy, 90 years. And we believe because someone told us it's true. But we've also had our unbelief, haven't we? We have had our times of doubt. It was a part of our life, but until it became alive within us, something had to happen, didn't it? We throw around a lot of words: born again, conversion, Holy Spirit coming to live within us. I was awakened to Christ. That's when our faith becomes real, isn't it? When we have personal evidence that God is alive within us, that we have proof that God is working in the world. Until we see it with our own eyes, parents, it's okay, your kids didn't listen. God, as a parent, has suffered through the same fate with us. Until we experience Christ for ourselves, no matter what others have told us, it's not a personal relationship, is it? A personal relationship? Where have I heard that before? It's not about where you go to church. It can be if you go to church. Why did Jesus tell us to go to church with one another? Why did Jesus, first of all, tell us to gather together? Because if we get enough of us in the room here, there's bound to be a couple of us that have been touched by the Holy Spirit, and He's hoping that some of that will rub off on the rest of us. Does that make sense? We put 300 people in this room, and they all have an experience, a personal relationship with Christ. A couple of you that have might have a big impact on their life. Amen?
Amen.
You think that can happen?
Yeah.
I think it can too. So in that way, we must learn from our own experiences. We must come together and experience. Good old John Wesley. Anybody remember John Wesley's Tale of Woe?
Oh, yeah.
Founder of, well, he didn't call it Methodism, but we did. 36 years of age, he was living as an Anglican priest, and on the morning of May 24, 1738, Wesley found himself crying out, "Lord, help my unbelief." He wrote in his journal that morning, he felt dull within and little motivated to pray for his own salvation. He sounded like he was sort of down in the dumps, didn't he? A man of God that had lived, his father was a pastor. He grew up to be a pastor. And he was dull, lifeless. But on that evening, a friend persuaded him to attend a meeting on Aldersgate Street. Anyone ever heard of Aldersgate? Very powerful in the Methodist story. It was a Bible study about 8:45. Someone was reading from Martin Luther's Preface to the Romans. John Wesley's heart was strangely warm. The Holy Spirit chose to come and just shaking just a little bit and say, "Listen to this. The change in our heart is through our faith. It can come at any time." He recorded in his journal, "I felt my heart strangely warm. I felt I did trust Christ. Christ alone for Savior, and an assurance was given me that He had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death." Anybody need that this morning?
Amen.
We all need that this morning. So in other words, the risen Christ came and appeared to Wesley, and his faith finally became a living, breathing, growing entity. He went out then and talked to some people about Christ. Thousands, even millions, found Jesus Christ through his preaching and teaching. But until his heart was strangely warmed on May 24, 1738, he was dead in his faith. Anyone dead in your faith this morning? We just had the most joyous occasion on the Christian calendar. We had Easter. Christ has risen. Christ has risen indeed. But are you dull and dead in your faith? I pray not. I pray not. Verse 28 of our reading today, Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you believe. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus knew there was going to be some of us hanging around later that was not going to see him for themselves. What Jesus also did was said, "I'm going to live within you. The Holy Spirit is going to come and reside within you. You're going to know I'm around." Does God give us a special blessing for our blind faith? Do you think God asks for our blind faith? Why did God give you a mind to think about things, to explore, to learn, to become educated? Why did God give you that ability? Why did God give you the ability of free will? Why does God say, "Here it is, you make your choice"? Because God loves us enough to let us choose. You might say, "Well, if God loves us so much, why don't he just make us love him?" How many times does that work for you? You ever been able to make someone love you? Yeah, that doesn't work very well. It's like giving your kids advice, isn't it? So could it be that seeing isn't really believing? We can see and still not believe in what we're seeing. We choose to live with that gift of faith. Our lives are transformed. Our lives are resurrected. Does that make sense? You feel transformed this morning? Jesus in chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, said to the disciples, "Don't leave Jerusalem, hang out of here and wait for the gift my Father promised." What was that gift?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. The little flame came above their heads. What's the first thing they did? They unlocked the door and they went out and found the people that had crucified Christ and said, "Hey, I got some news for you." What made them so bold? That little flame above their head? That made them bold. That made them say, "God, here I am. Point me in the right direction and let me go." Has God got the same message for each one of us today? I almost tell you that every Sunday. It's the same story. God has something for you. Believing is not seeing. Believing is experiencing the resurrected Christ for yourself. Not because I tell you or someone else tells you. Although, how do we know what to look for if someone doesn't tell us to, "Hey, be looking for something"? Sometimes we fall over it and keep going. the church does for you. So continue to search the scriptures, come to church, water your little seed of faith, and it will grow and blossom. John Wesley experienced it. But until the Holy Spirit came within him, he was dull and lifeless. So that's our message today. A message of unconditional love. It's a reason for us to rejoice. Amen?
Amen.
Amen and amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this resurrection story. Father, for the peace and grace of Christ to come and fill each one of us. Let us feel the Holy Spirit transform us into the people of God. Don't let us be dull and lifeless in our faith. Let us be alive and growing and sharing and loving others in the Christ-given grace and love of God. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. I'll be with you till we meet again. Prepare once again to celebrate Lena's life. So come back. I urge you to come back over and share that time of fellowship as we remember her. Receive this benediction. Father God, we pray for the Holy Spirit to be alive within us. Don't let our faith be dull and bored and useless. Let our faith be strong and powerful and loving those around us. Father, go with us from this place. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
I'd like to learn some more about you. What you did. Right. Okay.